Welcome to the V&A Podcast, bringing you behind the scenes of the Victoria and Albert Museum, the world's greatest museum of art and design. I'm Glenn Adamson, head of research at the V&A. In this episode, we'll be talking about the framing of artworks in the collection. It may not occur to you, but when you go to a museum, nearly every painting, every print, and every photo you see has a frame. At the V&A, at any given time, we have thousands of them hanging on the walls. We frame our artworks to protect them, of course, but also to set them off visually. In most cases, we don't necessarily want you to notice the frame itself. It's meant to be unobtrusive. But behind the scenes, we have a dedicated team of highly skilled people devoted to preparing our works for display. We also sometimes work with outside specialists to help us make our work look its best. In this episode of the podcast, you'll meet two of these talented people. Rob Lambeth, Senior Technical Services Manager at the V&A, and Matt Jones of John Jones Framers here in London. They're a family business that has operated for 40 years. So Rob, you're part of the technical services team at the V&A. Can you tell us a little bit about that department and the other things that it does in addition to framing?
Okay. Technical services consists of 26 technicians, two managers, and myself, Senior Technical Services Manager. We look after the handling and the installation of all the artworks. So anything to do with the collection, technical services has a hand in it somewhere. So we pack, we install, we mount, and we transport all the objects. We also get involved very much with outside companies like John Jones for making frames, or we might deal with other companies that make brackets or any other form of support that's required for hanging the objects or installing the objects. Technical services deals only with the objects. It doesn't deal with other forms of support in the museum. It doesn't deal with the fabric of the building or the cases or any other form of support. It's really, really based on the objects.
Right. So it's very interesting because the V&A, of course, is, among other things, a museum of crafts, historical crafts, and you're essentially the craftspeople on the premises, aren't you?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Yes. And how specialized is the team? Do you have, say, three people who do framing, three people who do mounts, three people who install work?
It used to be split up in that way. It no longer is. And that's mainly because we have such big projects coming forward with future plan projects, like Exhibition Road and Cloth Workers, that we need to have larger groups of technicians we can put towards difficult projects. So we may have a big packing project, so I need a lot of people who can pack. Or we may have a big mount making project, so I need a lot of people who can mount make. So as we go forward, we're training more and more people to have a level of skill across the board. Some people obviously are highly skilled to a certain degree in some areas, so it's a greater area of skill, but we expect everybody to be able to do the work of a technician at the V&A. This gives them a very broad outlook and makes the V&A very fluid in the way it can put on its exhibitions.
So you're quite a big team and a very flexible team. Mm. Matt, could you tell us a little bit about John Jones Framers? What kind of business is that?
Well, we have a team of expert. We're up to about 102 staff now. We're very much split into levels, completing the sort of start to finish of the process. So we'll have a team of seven designers who will be with the work and understand what the work needs from a protection point of view, working very side by side with a team of conservators now that we have on board. And then we see the frame all the way through from the manufacturing of the actual moulding through to it being produced, cut, joined, and then finished. And then we have a final department that will take care of the assembly. Mm. So working very closely with the team who take care of the specialist mounting and hinging of the works.
So you're actually more specialised than the team at the V&A, it sounds like.
I suppose we've always had this need of the work not having to do too much of a journey. So for that reason, we pretty much do everything in-house, all the way through from conservation of the work to specialist finishes of the frames.
So the work is disturbed as little as possible, basically.
Absolutely.
So, Rob, can you just walk us through a typical job of putting a frame on a piece of work and then getting it on the wall? What has to happen in what order?
Well, we have a request that comes in as a requisition to frame X amount of works. That can be for an exhibition, can be for a display, can be for a future plan, and any kind of display. When the requisition comes in, then it's assessed by a technician to look at where the works are, if they're ours or if they're coming in from outside, and what kind of framing is required. So we interact with the designer of a show, or we interact with conservation. Conservation will tell us what we can and cannot do to that object, what kind of frame is required. Lots of things to do with the inside of the frame rather than the outside of the frame, like the air gap, the sealing of the frame, what the glazing is going to be, whether it's going to be acrylic, whether it's going to be glass, whether it's going to be UV, ultraviolet, or low reflect. So there's lots of aspects to that frame. Once we know all those things, then we don't make the frame. We draw the frame out, or we send out a set of dimensions to a framer like John Jones, and they will be made for us, and they come in. We don't spend time making things where we don't need to, because we have so many other things to make that are very close to the objects. Once those frames come in, if it's a painting, it'll go to the paintings department and they will drop the painting in. If it's a flat work, it will go to paper conservation and they will either hinge it in, or it might be in a paper mount, a window mount, and they'll put it in from there. And once that's done, then it comes back to technical services to be hung in the gallery or to go on loan.
Right, okay. So, Matt, something Rob said there was that, in fact, most of the time that you're working with us at the V&A, you actually don't have the artwork in your hands.
That's right.
You get a drawing, like a computer drawing.
Absolutely. I mean, it really does rely on actually what's been a long relationship now between one of our senior designers at John Jones and Rob and his team. It's very clear as to what needs to be achieved from the instructions, and it's a case of having that great relationship, very clear what needs to be produced.
So, Matt, can you tell us a little bit about some of the more unusual things that you might have to face at John Jones, things out of the ordinary?
Well, I mean, it's interesting listening to Rob. We worked a very similar way, in that the first thing, it's all about the work and what's expected of the work. So we spend probably more time now looking at the protection and what has to happen for the work within the frame, before then looking at the frame itself. We never know what's going to come in, so every day is different. Every day is a challenge, but it's actually making sure what we do is there to protect as well as present.
So what would be an example of a particularly difficult thing, something that's very large perhaps?
Yeah, I think we haven't been beaten yet on something that's oversized. It's an interesting question, because my immediate thinking is to think about all the things that have been framed very oversized. But I think because conservation is very at the forefront of where we are at the moment, I'd really like to talk about something that's quite a small object. And this was being called in to see a collector who had a work on the wall, and it was purely to have it reframed. On viewing the work in the collection, we were actually looking at a piece that was crumbling, it was disintegrating. We had to put up the big sort of warning signs to stay away from it, because and then it actually then went through quite about 6 months of conservation work. I think what's really nice is that when you make it very clear to the client what needs to be achieved, they're on that journey with you. So they get their weekly phone call from us as to what we've tested and what we've proven and what's worked. And I mean, the outcome, I suppose I was more proud about how we'd been able to save this work and how good the work actually looked at the end, as much as the frame itself.
Rob, can you think of examples where the V&A has had to frame up something that's just seemed almost impossible to begin with?
Nothing's impossible, but there's always a cost element and a time element. And you are dealing with various factions pulling in different directions. The conservation wants something, and the designer will want something else. And the budget holder will also want something else. So it's actually trying to bring all those things together. But thinking about very large things, there were some very, very big posters for the theatre museum when that was revamped. Huge, huge posters. And we were trying to get acrylic big enough to actually put in the frame, and we couldn't get it. It was too big. I think we couldn't get in this country. I believe John Jones might have supplied it and got it from France. I'm not absolutely, I can't quite remember. But the frame cost would have been prohibitive. So, in fact, we literally just bought the acrylic to the right size and bought some aluminium L section, and cut it up in the workshop and had it powder coated and literally just screwed it round it. Now that might look a bit shoddy, but in fact the huge size of it you just don't notice, and it looks good. It looks very good. So there are ways round these issues where you can make something look quite slick for not very much money.
So Matt, how do you think about the aesthetic quality, the visual quality of the frames that you're producing? Is it often a case of just trying to make the frame something that you don't notice?
I mean, it's there to enhance. At the end of the day, the focus has to be all about the art, or the piece. So once you've tackled the protective side, the frame is there to then highlight the work. And I think what we tend to do is when we're working with clients, that there's always an idea that's actually there in the head, but it's a case of actually looking at all options really on the frame. I mean, and sometimes I actually don't rush a decision. You know, you're there to live with the work, so the frame you have to live with the way in which then it's been framed. So sometimes I will sort of leave a work and see how it sort of behaves with different types of frames until finally it really clicks. But at the end of the day, it's there to make it look as good as it could.
So Rob, we mentioned earlier that, of course, once the frame is done, it needs to be installed. Can you just tell us a little bit about that part of the process? It's probably not as simple as just throwing a nail in the wall and then hanging the thing, right? It's a complex procedure in its own right.
Well, more than likely, the frames will be one part of a whole range of objects, three-dimensional objects, that are going into an exhibition. So that would all be planned through a lead technician. We always appoint a lead technician on an exhibition or a display, so they can be the focal point. And then everything is assessed for transport, where it's going to go to, that we can get things through doors, that the weights, we can control the weights. If you've got pieces of sculpture, you might want to control the weights of things, where they go over the floors. We have a lot of hollow floors in the V&A. We also have a lot of very beautiful ceramic floors, which can get cracked. Big framed things, we have to decide how we're going to hang them. If it's a very, especially in I think in the medieval Renaissance, we have some huge framed objects in there, which John Jones framed for us. Very heavy laminated glass and thick frames. They needed, the walls in the V&A are not that brilliant everywhere. Often the walls are made up of just lumps of brick and plastered over. They're not that strong. So we might figure out a way of taking the weight all the way along the length of the object and not just hanging it on two points. So everything is assessed. Everything has an assessment to how we're going to do it, how we're going to hang it, how we're going to get it there. And that's even before we started thinking about how we're going to get it made.
Hmm. Matt, could you tell us a little bit about the materials that are used in frames? We've been talking about the fact that this is quite a conservation-sensitive process. So what kind of things can you actually put into a frame?
Well, we've always worked to what's called conservation standards. We actually reassessed a lot of our standards in 2004, I think it was, where we just took a complete review of everything we were doing. We now only use what's called a museum board. So in a way, acid-free is kind of known everywhere now. We've, in a way, ignored that. We just make sure that what the boards that we're using are made of 100% cotton. The boards are made even in unbuffered or buffered. The difference being the sort of the alkaline level that's in there. So depending again on the work, depends on what type of mount boards use, but we will only use one type of mount board now. The hinging is incredibly important. Very commonly we will only use a hinge made of Japanese paper rather than the other forms of hinges which are called acid-free. I mean, acid-free seems to be everywhere. We do the same thing before we frame anything. We have a conservator actually sign the works off as to what is the best solution.
Can I just ask one last question? Given all the expertise that you're bringing to this task and the fact that all of our visitors are walking past these hundreds and thousands of frames every day, what would you say is your hope in terms of what you're bringing to the experience of the V&A?
I think the V&A is superlative. Its collection is overwhelming. When you look at what's gone into those galleries and how they've changed in the last few years, our collection is used so well. And we're sending exhibitions around the world all the time, and they're well received. And I get very good feedback about how good our galleries look and the way we treat our works. And I feel very proud to be part of that.
And Matt, what about you?
I was going to say proud is very much, I was at the V&A a few days ago, and it just looks very well considered, and it's set off in a very, very dramatic way. And it's a proud moment to be able to say, you know, we have the V&A in London.
Okay, thank you both very much. Matt Jones from John Jones Framers and our own Rob Lambeth from Technical Services Department. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this discussion of how this craft brings so much to the visual experience of the museum. Perhaps not something that every visitor has thought about, but hopefully if you have been listening, next time you look at one of the frames that we have on display or in another museum, you'll know what's gone into it. Hope you've enjoyed it, and also hope you'll join us again next time for another episode of the V&A podcast, bringing you behind the scenes of the Victoria and Albert Museum, the world's greatest museum of art and design.